Arr, matey.
And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus, 106 in the afternoon. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Temperatures right around 50 degrees across much of the area. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our wonderful, talented Ag Director Bridget Riedel, who is live on location. Where are you at now, Bridget?
Okay, so I get to spend the day over here, 10 miles south of Lake Park, Minnesota, and I am at Swanee's. This is a really nice resort. I'd never been here before.
I've heard a lot of good things about it.
A lot of good things. And so the full house, folks are here to hang out with those of us who are part of Flag Family Media, WDAY Radio, as we do our shows live from here today. So that's been a lot of fun. Just get a chance to shake hands, say hello, had a burger for lunch. That was fabulous. And, you know, right now, just going to hang out. We'll probably have a couple of guests coming on throughout the hour, but it's going to be a big day. And I would say there'd be more folks here, but some of them had to go back to the field.
That's what you're saying. They had to go back to beet harvest and still harvesting corn out there as well. And, you know, and was it you? Somebody was telling me this morning, I think it was, it might have been Bonnie, where she was talking to a farmer where they had to stop their harvest because the ground was just, it was too dry.
And there were potatoes.
Was that potatoes? Okay.
Yep, ground's too dry and hard. They were having trouble digging potatoes. And we got to think about that. When the ground is that hard, you wind up literally burning up tools and implements because it's that scouring action of the iron in the soil that will do it. And so sometimes it's better to just stop working so that you get that chance to let the ground softened, and they did get a little bit of rain over the weekend, so I think that was probably a really big help.
Yeah, a little bit. We haven't had much, and there is a little bit in the forecast, but not for today. In fact, we're looking at pretty decent conditions for the rest of the afternoon, with plenty of sunshine, and temperatures should warm up into the upper 50s for today. Tonight, we'll drop off into the 40s as clouds increase, and a sprinkle or two possible from 94 corridor southward for tomorrow. I think a lot of that's going to kind of scoot off into Lakes country, and even that doesn't look like a lot, tenth of an inch or less. And then we set the stage for a dry weekend, and it warms up from Friday into the upper 50s and into the upper 60s by Sunday. It's a dry forecast for the most part. Now, I do see signs of change as we head into next week and then especially into the end of the month. If you want to know more on that, log on to our website, WDAYRadioNow.com, and I've got an article posted on there on why I think it's going to change as we head into next week, and it might last for a while, which would be good news because it would mean a more active storm track. Now, whether we get hit by any of those storms, odds are we will by at least one of them, and we need one good storm around here to really kind of replenish the moisture, if you will. So we'll see how it pans out.
We'd really like to see some subsoil moisture recharge, if you would. As you mentioned earlier, there's some folks that went back to the field. We still have corn combining going on, but they went back in to get sugar beets. You know, right now there's been a release of those reserve acres for American Crystal. So folks that thought they were done on maybe Saturday, they decided to come back into the field and keep harvesting. And it's been good for them. They've been able to do it without having to fight mud and so forth. And there's a couple of positive things about being able to go back out and get some of those sugar beets. Number one, it's just good for the cooperative overall to have a bigger, better harvest. And right now, sugar's been really good, even with this dry weather that came in. That really increased the sugar concentration in the beets. And the fields are going to be clean going into 2025. So that's awesome. You don't have to go out and do tillage to try to work down those sugar beets that are left in the field after harvest. And it really helps to cover those input costs. It's kind of like that little extra bit of gravy on your mashed potatoes because you get this little bit of extra sugar beets that are going in to cover your input costs, like your diesel fuel, your pre-emerge herbicides, some of your labor costs, etc. And I said gravy on the mashed potatoes, but we were talking sugar, so maybe I should have said whipped cream on your pie.
There you go. How's that?
Plan for your pumpkin pie.
Oh, perfect. Bridget, do you remember back the winter of 2011 and 2012?
With great trepidation.
Do you remember? What stands out about the winter of 2011 and 12?
if I remember right, 11 and 12, weren't we pretty well buried in snowfall that year?
No, it was total opposite.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. It might have been the winter after. Yeah, I think it was the winter after that.
Okay.
I was talking with Gary from, you know, the LRC, and he said, you know what really worries me right now is I'm starting to see signs of this looking like the winter of 2011 and 12 across much of the U.S. And so I went back and looked to see what the weather was like here in the FM area, and it was it wasn't a snowy winter, and it wasn't a wet winter. It was very dry. We had warmer than normal temps, and the snow shut off literally. Like flipping a switch in mid-March, we went from snow on the ground to 60s and 70s.
I wanted to say that might have been the winter. We didn't actually get like snow until practically New Year's.
I think that
we had a very dry December.
It was, yeah.
And when you think about that, there's an old farmer saying, "You must have winter to make summer." If we don't have much of a winter, they worry about what our growing season could look like. And we really got a gift this year having a longer than expected growing season. Our corn made maturity in places we didn't know that it was going to happen, especially when you were looking at this corn crop in, say, July and August. And I got so close to being team November 1st for no frost. I was really close, you guys. And now, you know, as I look at what could happen this winter, if we don't have a lot of snow, or if we have snow but it doesn't carry much moisture with it, that will impede us next spring. We've done this before. Weather is cyclical. We have farmed in years that were a lot drier, but there's a good chunk of folks that are farming that really don't remember a lot of those drier years prior to, say, 1993, when we really started to get rainfall.
Yeah, yeah. And these next 3 to 4 weeks are going to be crucial in regards to the LRC, in regards to not only what our winter looks like, but what spring and summer will hold next year. Because if we keep expanding this drought, droughts either contract or they expand. And right now they're expanding throughout much of the central U.S. And if we don't kind of get this under wraps, next summer could hold a hot and very dry summer if we don't start to see changes in this pattern right now. So
this is all cyclical, though, as I said.
It is.
I still make fun of the fact you guys say an average, and we only go back 30 years. Well, let's take a real average and go back more like 50, and we saw a lot more summers in this regard that were drier, less moisture. What we have had happen since then, I'm less afraid of drought than you might think, because we have great hybrids and varieties in corn, soybean. We're going to introduce a more drought-tolerant wheat very soon that's got gene editing done to it. We're going to be able to raise a crop with less moisture than what we had before. That's one of the pushes for short-statured corn. It's not just for corn mazes for kindergartners. This is a great...
Or us.
Or us. Which, I'm coming back to that because I have a little side note for you and I.
Okay.
But when you think about being able to farm with less moisture and still continue to keep our bushels up, that's what we're striving for. And we're going to be able to do that. We're not farming like we did once upon a time. We also continue to use fungicides, even in dry years, not on every crop, but on some. You know, I think about dry beans, still get a fungicide application because rainfall can come at the wrong time and can still drag down that yield if we're not careful with it. Now back to my side note, Dean, I just want to congratulate you for making it through Monday. Do you have any idea why?
For making it through this last Monday?
Through this last Monday.
Why?
Well,
I'm afraid to ask.
For people who, I literally have been told I look taller on Twitter. And thanks for that, I guess. October 21st was National Throw Short People Day. So if you were under 5'4", you could be tossed around with no permission needed.
I cleared that. But you are you're right around that, aren't you?
I am 5'2.5".
Yeah,
thank you very kindly. Don't take my half away. And yes, I truly think that the fact that we made it through Monday without any personal attacks was a good day.
Well, and I'm glad nobody kind of brought that to anyone's attention around here, because
I learned it later in the day. I was very glad that was much later in the day when I was finally notified of the situation.
That's a good thing. Well, it's 1:16 actually. We're going to take a quick break with the American Ag Network, and when we come back, we'll hit some more ag topics and some other shenanigans. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Oh. welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. But, man, I was so hoping the goat took a day off, and yet here we are.
Well, that's for Steve. I mean, we can't disappoint Steve. So.
Well, we appreciate that Steve listens as closely as he does. So, in fact, he made reference to the fact that I am remote at Swanee's over south of Lake Park, Minnesota. And he said something to the effect of basically that old song, Swanee River.
Way down upon the Swanee River.
Well, there's that one. But do you remember on Looney Tunes when they used to sing it? Swanee, how I love you, how I love you.
Oh, from Bugs Bunny?
From Bugs Bunny.
Yeah. I vaguely remember that, yeah.
All right, well, I'll send you a YouTube of it
okay.
later, and I'll explain it to poor Addison in the booth. the one thing I don't have to explain is the great work that our sponsors do for us with our Here We Grow project, which we've wrapped up, we've combined. We're going to reveal the yield. Some of you, if you're paying attention to our first video with Justin in the combine, you already saw what the yield might be. I'll confirm that soon. But to North Dakota Estate Services, Mark Wagner does a fantastic job making sure that you can do your transition planning for your farm, for your agribusiness, or anywhere else. So give Mark a call at ND Estate Services. And Red Wing Shoes, I've got mine on today. I'm not necessarily on a farm or in a field, but I did make sure to bring my Red Wings. And thanks to Teresa and the gang, you know, if you're completing harvest and you've worn out those boots, it's time to go on in and get some new work shoes. Whether you're farming, whether you're in construction, they're there to help. And if there are places that they can help you find discounts, they want you to. They'll help you find them. Dean, you and I, when we talk about the yield for Here We Grow, we also have a couple of giveaways for our top winner without going over. I feel like we're running a prices right now.
Right.
And so we have a rain gauge from Productive Alternatives in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Thank you to them for our National Weather Service approved rain gauges. And then also to IntelliFarms because they have the grain gauge. And those guys, Chris Brault and his crew out in Castleton were great. They gave us a grain gauge to give away. It goes on your bin. So as you're filling bins, you can watch whether or not it's half full, three quarters full, etc. Easy installation. In fact, if you'd like, I think I could probably do it. You want me to swing by and put that in for you? Bring a tall ladder. I could maybe make it work.
Very tall. Or a cherry picker.
The cherry picker would be, well, not cherry picker, but a lift would be awesome.
Yeah.
A bucket lift. I will tell you this, sitting down at the bar at Swanee's, those are super cushy chairs that my feet don't touch the rungs and the bar hits me at about chin level. So for those of you who are my height, you might want to get a booster seat if you're sitting at the bar.
Now, Bridget, in regards to our giveaway with the Guess the Bushels, what's the date slated? When are we going to get the final number on that and give that away?
So we have an upcoming day where we're going to present our check with our profits to Farm Rescue, and we're going to be doing that. It's a Wednesday, November 13th, I believe. So join us on air that day so you hear what our bushels are, find out who our winner is. I've got your guesses, so I can probably start to choose who that person's going to be. But we definitely want to make sure that we recognize all those who have been a part of this project, especially our farmer cooperators. That would be Skolnes Farms. That would be Trigby. That would be Parker Skolnes. And then Justin Magnuson, who's part of the operation. And speaking of dollars, our dollars through Farm Rescue are going to be designated going towards the wildfires out in western North Dakota. And also, if you didn't hear me mention this yesterday, North Dakota Stockmen's Association and the Stockmen's Foundation have put together a fund. It's called Out of the Ashes to help out with those farmers and ranchers who lost feed, fences, equipment, barns, and even cattle. And that fund kicked off with $50,000 from Stockmen's Association Foundation. What they've added to it has been private donations, and ExxonMobil stepped in earlier this week with $100,000. So that fund is now over $250,000 for wildlife relief to those areas in western North Dakota that were heavily affected.
Good deal. Good deal.
Well, very glad.
Why don't we hit some ag topics real quick here, Bridget, before we have a guest coming on after the bottom of the hour, correct?
We do. And we haven't had time to do a lot of headlines lately.
No.
So which ones would you like to start with?
Well, let's hit on cleaning out those combines. I don't think we touched on that.
We didn't. And as combines are coming in from the field and going into the shop, it's not just cleaning the dust off, greasing them, and putting in wear parts. We want to make sure that if you had to go through an area that had kochia in it, that was immature and went to seed, or water hemp, blow those machines out. Make sure that you get them as clean as you possibly can. And we know that water hemp seed is very small. All those weed seeds are. But the reason for it is if we don't, and you take that machine to a new field that you didn't have that weed on, now you do. And maybe you'd be spreading Palmer amaranth or other things. So we want to make sure that the machines get cleaned out as we move from one field to the other, but especially at the end of season, so we're not taking it from one field to another. And also if you're doing trade-ins, you know, right now the secondary market on combines especially has softened. If you'll be doing any trades this year, it's probably a really good idea to clean that machine out thoroughly before you bring it home or somewhere where you're not going to get weed seeds moved out into a field, because you don't want to reinfect, so to speak, your yard or your farm when you don't have to. You just want to be cautious of all of that.
Gotcha. And fall weed application, that's coming up here. And my question to that is, if does it matter if we know ahead? So let's use the LRC. And we're just going to throw this out there, not saying this is how it's going to pan out, but let's say we know it's going to be, we're going to continue to expand this drought. Or let's say we know that, all right, precip is going to pick up the latter half of fall and into winter, so we know we're going to have ample moisture. Does that matter when it comes to applying the fall weed control?
There are some things that we certainly want a little moisture because they're going to activate. And it just depends on which product you're going to use. Some require that little bit of moisture, because what it allows the product to do is, maybe it's a granule application, and the chemistry actually moves off the granule to the soil molecule or the soil particles and attaches itself. So then it's in the right place for the spring. What's also important is soil temperature. And the LRC doesn't always give us soil temps, but it does tell us when winter move, when storms are coming, when we could see more precipitation that we could plan for, or if we're going to see a drop in temperature because of those storms. And if we see that, we want to make sure that our soil temps are 50 degrees or below so that we don't have soil microbial activity. What that means is, of course, our soil is alive, right? Sarah, our friend in soils, tells us that all the time. There's a lot of activity in that soil. But we want to wait until those soil microbes go to sleep for the winter, so they're in hibernation, so they're not actively breaking down our herbicide or our fertilizers. And so we, that's why we wait until longer in the season. And we're fast approaching that. If you are able to pull up Endon, Dean, if you have, I got a lot of stuff in front of me, but the access to Endon is not one of them at the moment. Okay. And we can probably start to see what soil temperatures are in a variety of places. And it'll depend on what you have for cover. Do you have a cover crop? Maybe it's holding your soil temps down. Do you have black soils that are absorbing sunlight on a great sunny day like today, et cetera? So it could make a difference on where you are, is what your soil temperatures might be. It's a little bit of a science. You don't just get to do one thing when you're thinking about what you're going to apply in the fall.
Soil temperatures, I'm taking a look right now off Endon, upper 40s to lower 50s at a 2-inch depth.
Okay.
So you go down a little more, and we're still even going down to 8 inches. We're looking at temperatures mainly in the 50s, the further down you go. So
we normally wouldn't need to go to an 8-inch depth. Most of the time, if we're doing fall fertilizer or herbicide applications, we're in the top 2 to 4 inches. Mm-hmm. So that's the place we're going to look for. Fun fact, when you're doing soil sampling, though, you're going to get a lot further down than that. Your temperature does not necessarily dictate what you have to do for soil sampling.
Gotcha.
But the moisture matters is how you're pulling out, whether you're pulling out a good core or not.
Gotcha. And Bridget, I got an email the other day asking about the corn, what causes corn to lose its stalk strength, you know, when it starts to tip over and whatnot. But I thought that was an interesting question. So,
okay. So you know how early on this season we had, we were wet. It took a lot for us to get in the field, and we saw some stalk rot at the time because you had those really wet conditions and your plants were just sitting in there. Now, as we've moved further and what they call the flash drought, because it's dried out for us really quickly, you could have seen some stalk integrity that really went downhill because we had a lack of moisture. Maybe you had some rot early on, so that didn't help. You didn't have good standability. And some varieties are better than others. When someone tells me my corn fell over, I'm unhappy with it, I would also like to point out that we had some roughly 50-mile-an-hour winds some days. I don't know what's going to stand up to 50-mile-an-hour winds. I mean, even Aquanet can't help you in there. So realistically, not all your corn's going to do as well on those days too. But we will see that if you were concerned about a cornfield, and as many people are on the backside of their harvest, if you were concerned about your field, you could literally walk up and push on some stalks. And did they stay standing? Did they move? That'll tell you how your stock strength looks before you can get in there with a combine. But most of us are kind of getting past those problems. We're picking up corn pretty fast now. It's going well.
Gotcha. When are we totally done here with harvest?
When the last combine comes in.
Like 7th of November?
We could be. You know, we still have some folks that are working around some wet spots maybe, et cetera. But I think the majority of our combining is going to be done really by that, let's say the 6th, 7th of November.
Okay. It'll
be a lot. Nobody wants to say I was the last guy done or the last farm done.
Right.
But we're just going to give it time. They'll finish up. It's nice not to be pushed. I talked to a grower this morning from Wisconsin, and he said, we're stopping combines at 8 o'clock at night because we don't have rain in the forecast. The harvest has been good. We really don't see a need to have to push,
right,
and we're giving our folks a chance to go home, get a good night's sleep, pack a lunch for tomorrow, maybe do the laundry.
And on the positive spin of that, that probably leads to less accidents because
yes,
we're a little more rested up, and right? Good.
Yeah.
See, so
yeah,
there's some positive that's coming out of this.
I think there's some really good positives that are going to come out for folks, yes.
Good. Good deal. Yeah. Well, we're at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, our guest is, help me out on this, Bridget.
Okay, so we're going to see Ray. Ray is coming from a local stained glass workshop, and I don't know a whole lot of details either, which makes this a perfect time
right
to interview him.
And if you have any questions for our guest or for us during the show, feel free to give us a call on our Red Wing Shoe Hotline. That's 701-293-9000. Again, that's 701-293-9000. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
All right. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us. I am on remote today. Dean's in studio holding down the fort, you might say. And I have the great fortune of being down at Swanee's in Lake Park, Minnesota. Right now, we've got folks gathered in here. They want to talk about everything that's going on, whether it's agricultural, politics, and so much more. And all of our shows are being joined from here. Dean, thanks for being the guy to stay back and do all the dirty work. You and Addison are in charge.
Yeah, you're sitting at a bar on a live show. I mean, hold on.
There's a party. Here's Bridget in her blender. Glad she could make it. This isn't all that different than a normal day that I'm in a bar somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Kind of. I mean, occasionally.
I drew the short straw, literally.
Yep. But remember, you surpassed the throw short people day the other day, so you're safe
yeah
now. Okay, so we have a guest who's joining us today, and I have with me Ramon Morin.
Yes,
I want to make sure I say that right.
No,
so Ramon.
Good.
And Ramon is with the Studio Renaissance just down the road. So
yes,
welcome and thanks for joining us today. Really glad
to
see you, Ramon.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your business.
I own Studio Renaissance. I do stained glass restoration and new stained glass windows for churches, courthouses, libraries, lake homes, residentials.
Wow.
We also are offering holiday classes right now so that we can get the public involved. And if anyone is interested, that's something that we can offer. We're doing some ornament-themed classes for the holidays, which have been very fun, if I do say so myself.
Well, I can't imagine that they would be boring. So,
oh, no. Put on the Christmas music and everyone's happy.
Well, I'll bring on the mulled wine. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have some questions. First of all, this isn't like you just started yesterday. How long have you been doing stained glass work?
Wow. You know, I've been doing this for 28 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, and I stumbled
amazing
across,
because you're only like 26, so good for you.
I love that. I love the radio. Please, keep it coming.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you know, I was very fortunate. I have a business partner that owns Classic Glass, and I started with his studio, and I walked in at the very bottom entry level, worked my way up, and was able to now become a business partner. And it's really what I would consider my own American dream.
Sure.
You know?
So, okay. I've had stained glass work done before. I don't know if you've ever seen this. I had a friend do them. They look like little grain elevators with colors of stained glass. And then she layered the different crops from the area in those.
Love that.
Oh, wow.
Do you do dimensional items like that, or just the glass photo, like you said, the church windows?
I do a lot of church windows, basically.
Okay.
Is the majority of part of my business. And then the ornaments I do are more one-dimensional. But if I get a commissioned project,
right.
I mean, I can definitely do dimensional work.
Okay.
It really comes down to what the demand is,
sure.
you know. But when it comes to stained glass, if it's something that can be made by hand and cut by glass, it's definitely something that I can probably do.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
So the way, part of the reason that this works in my head that we talk about you today on Weather and Ag in Focus is little country churches are everywhere.
Yes, ma'am.
And a lot of them had some beautiful original stained glass.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find yourself redoing them?
Oh, yes.
So basically like reclamation, or are some of them just so bad you have to start from scratch?
So restoration is a huge part of my business.
Okay.
And I'm actually one of the only studios in the Midwest that does traditional restoration. Anything that is over 100 years old and has been put together by lead more than likely will need to be restored at some point.
Sure.
And so that's where I come in. My goal is to do just that, is not to make it new, brand new again, but to make it as restored and as close to its natural state as possible. And so I was just in Leonard, North Dakota yesterday at a small church.
Funny, I'm not that far from Leonard on a normal day. So,
oh,
okay.
Perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I was just there with my installer working on a small project. And again, it's just one of these small town churches that it's been closed down, but was bought by another local patriot. And she's been restoring it over the past few years. And
wow.
So, yeah. You know, we do all kinds of work with our small local churches, even if the ones that have been retired.
Okay, so because we know that many of these churches dot the landscape between farms and fields, you know, they have a great history across mm-hmm. our state as we were settled, both the Dakotas, Minnesota.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, when you look at those older windows, and you said some of them are leaded, mm-hmm. is there a danger factor? Is there, because you're not ingesting the lead, but people worry about asbestos in old buildings. Is there anything that happens like that in windows?
No, not necessarily. When you have to really worry about that is when you start inhaling it, you
mm-hmm.
know. So it would be more of an issue for someone like me who takes those windows out
mm-hmm.
and then take them to my studio and start to take them apart. Because a lot of the time there's going to be oxidation. Which is just the lead deteriorating and basically becoming a powdered form that can be breathed in, or if you don't wash your hands, easily ingested if you're holding food. But other than that, that's really the only concerns that you would have to have.
And Ramon, do you guys offer, like, let's say just Bridget or I wanted to learn something about doing what you do. Do you offer workshops?
Definitely. So right now we're offering ornament classes just for the holidays because a lot of the responses I've been getting are people wanting to do themed projects. But I do have a basic class where we have you come in, and I teach this in a way that is to be not only economical, but I've taken all the unnecessary fat off of stained glass. I've trimmed it away, and I teach in a way that we are productive. At the end of the day, most of us have a 40 to 45-hour minimum work week, and when we have just a few hours of time to ourselves, we want to create something, whether it's for ourselves or gift to others. We have just that few hours. We want to see results.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to feel like we spent 2 hours and got nowhere. So I teach in a way that we don't use unnecessary tools. We get results. And in doing so, I think I made this an affordable art as well.
How intricate can you get?
You can get very intricate. And what's great is I will recommend using all hand tools. I teach using hand tools. But, you know, if you want to get to doing, like, continuous cuts, you know, you can get like jet saws and such along mm-hmm. those lines and help along those lines. But yeah, we can get pretty intricate. I have an inside joke that I have these very plump fingers, and I hate it for the intricate work because it gets troublesome when you try to get down in there, you know. And so I always tease my wife. I'm like, you know, honey, you have these beautiful fingers. If you ever let me teach you to do stained glass, we would kill it.
When you're doing some of those big pieces like the windows and so forth, do you have to rebuild the framing, or do you have someone else do the wood framing for them?
Well, you know, if it's a wood frame that needs to be repaired, mm-hmm. I have another great local artist named Ted Anderson that does all of my wood repair and woodworking. But for the most part, we're able to use the frames that they come in.
Oh, nice.
The only time that's ever an issue is if they don't have exterior protective covering and they take a lot of weather. And
sure.
Up here, you know, we get snow, we get rain, and that can definitely put some wear and tear on these frames.
Do you get – oh, go ahead, Dean.
That's okay. Ramon, so just thinking of – you know, you see unique gift ideas scrolling through social media, these different companies. Is there any way, like I've seen pictures, you know, you can send a picture in and they can make so many different things out of it. Can you send, if we send you a picture, can you make like a 5x7 stained glass out of that?
So, okay, and I want to tag on that with what Dean is asking, because the question I was going to say is, when I see like a landscape photo that wants to be done and somebody wants their tractor in it, are there copyright things on that if you want to have – so
you know,
can you make the landscape like Dean wants or the picture, and can you put my John Deere tractor in it is what I want.
Yes, but what we do is we use colored glass. So,
sure.
Unless you want to have us paint in the stencils, you know.
Okay.
And then what we would do is we wouldn't necessarily – you know, write John Deere, but it would look as though, you know,
yep.
Because we want to be respectful of copyright, you know, issues and such. But this specific question reminds me of a project we did years and years ago for the Young Republicans of America in California, where they came to us and they had the Ronald Reagan Museum.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, hey, you know, this was Mr. Reagan's favorite picture when he was at his ranch. He would sit at his recliner or rocking chair, I believe it was, and he would just stare out, and this was his view.
Oh.
Can we recreate this view in an image and put it in his museum?
Oh, wow.
And I get goosebumps, and I'll show you right now. You know, I know it doesn't work good on radio, but that's one of my most favorite projects, you know, because I was able to partake in that, and to this day, my windows are there. There was a fire not too long ago, a few years ago, that got pretty close, and I was keeping an eye on the news, like, no, you know, but thankfully, everything was taken care of, but yeah, you know, we can take any image and turn it into a stained glass image for the most part.
Right.
I also have local artists that I work with that can help me. And then I even have a European artist that is probably world renowned and one of the best in the world that we're able to do work with, if you're willing to pay that price.
Okay, so realistically, you know, with the new Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library going out in Western North Dakota, don't forget to give them your name.
You know, if anyone is listening, my name is Ramon, and I own Studio Renaissance, and I would love to be part of that project.
All right, we're going to keep that in mind.
Yes, ma'am. Please do.
Okay, so again, review for us. You know, you've got workshops and classes coming up.
Well,
just
give
those highlights for people.
Yeah, you know, so if you're interested in any of my classes, you can get in touch with us at Studio Renaissance on Facebook, or you can find me at StudioRenaissanceLLC.com. You can also email me at Ramon@StudioRenaissanceLLC.com. All of our classes, we try to hold every Saturday. We start at 10. We like to have a minimum of 4 just so that we can run the class with a maximum of 8. We don't like over-large classes because I really like to have that one-on-one time. And the goal of my classes is to create artisans and, at the very least, to have a fun experience. You know?
Of course.
And so with that being said, right now, the classes we're running are holiday theme classes. We're making Christmas ornaments, snowmen. We have the standard Christmas trees. We have basically candy canes, you know,
so
all kinds.
Is there an age limit? Because I think about grandmas bringing some of the small kids in to
yes.
have that memory of making their ornaments for Christmas.
So the youngest I think I could bring in is about 10, and that's mm-hmm. just because the coordination, we are still working with glass, you know,
yes.
and so we want to make sure that to have that in mind. But I've had a few 10-year-olds come in, and they've been pretty successful, and so
nice.
it's a great bonding experience. I had this one class, and immediately afterwards, she said, "We're going home to put up the Christmas tree," and I was like,
"It's
yes,
July,
yes,
do this.
That's what we're doing." So, yeah, I have a feeling we're going to be doing that fairly soon too.
I think that's an awesome idea. I mean,
yes.
just to get the exposure and. We don't all need things, but we like doing things together. And if you can
yes.
bring the family in and do something like that would be fun.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough of that anymore, you know. And any art, any kind of art creation, when you can do something together, I think is beautiful. You know, when you can create something out of nothing and feel good about the process, I mean, come
why
on.
Why not?
Right?
So, Ramon, before we go to our commercials, where? How do people find you? Where are you? What's your best contact information?
My best contact information would be to find me on my Studio Renaissance Facebook page, or you can call me or text me at 701-318-1340. My location is here in Lake Park, Minnesota, right by Big Cormorant Lake. And so if you have any questions, like I said, just make contact and we'll do our best to reach back to you.
I bet we'll get people to figure that out.
I really hope so. Thank you guys so much for this opportunity.
Oh, this has been fun.
Thank you.
Well, Dean, we only have a little bit more time to go before we can wrap up weather and headlines. It's been a busy day.
It has been. That's good. That's good, though. A busy day goes by quickly.
It does. So stick with us, folks. We'll be back just after this.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag and Focus, 1:51 in the afternoon. And it's a pretty decent day out there for the end of October. Temperatures in the 50-degree range, and we'll continue to warm up into the upper 50s across much of the area today. And even warmer weather heading our way as we head into the upcoming weekend. So all in all, not a bad-looking forecast. Not a lot of rain in the forecast until possibly later next week. We're starting to see changes in the upper-level pattern, and that's going to lead to more storms coming in out into the Rockies. And hopefully, we can tap some of that Gulf moisture and bring some much-needed rain and or snow into the area as we start off the month of November. It's looking more promising than it did a while back, so that's good.
As you continue to bring us good weather, I'm fine with that. I'd like a little bit of moisture now and then, more than maybe just a heavy dew. Thank you. But that's where I'm
right
at.
Exactly.
Just my thought.
No doubt about it. So
I'm sorry, did that pick up the ice in my iced tea?
Yeah, that's Long Island iced tea is what it looks like from here.
Fine.
Well, you've got it in a plastic glass to hide it. I know the tricks. Come on.
It's all good.
Go ahead, Bridget.
I was going to say, if you want something else to listen to on a day when we're not on air, say a Saturday, and there are a pile of ag-related podcasts that are available, and just wanted to you all think about who you might want to listen to. So there is one called Beyond the Crops, and that happens to be done by Jen Oshner and Mary Pat Sass. These are two family farms, and they share exactly what it is that they're doing on a regular basis, and they do a great job. Midwest Farm Wives is another two ladies from Kansas and Northeast Missouri. That's Whitney Larson and Kylie Epperson. So if you want to check out their podcast, The Rural Women, that is done by Caitlin Dubin. She's out of Alberta, Canada. She's a first-generation farmer, and they raise canola, wheat, barley, all sorts of things, peas, and she's fun to hear. I've had a great chance to meet and work with Caitlin on different things. I was just a guest on a podcast called Ag for the Uninducted. And that, it is done by a gal. Her name is Taylor Peterson. Taylor is an FFA member. She is a sophomore in high school. And what a great idea for her. She's the kid that just decided, I'm going to run a podcast. This is going to be my FFA project. So, Dean, we are continually amazed at the things that FFA kids do. And that's one that Taylor is taking on.
That's all. I mean, you know,
I'm really happy for her.
We didn't have that
right
back in our day. So, you know, the way to adapt to technology and just, that's awesome. Those FFA kids, they're so bright. I mean.
And we're going to get a chance tomorrow. We're going to have a call in from the FFA chapter from Rolla, North Dakota. They will be down in Indianapolis competing. So we'll get to hear from them. One of their members is going to join us at the start of the hour tomorrow, actually. Again, continuing on those podcasts, if you're looking for any others, I have one that just started called The Rural Well, and that focuses on mental health and physical health for rural folks as well as our farm community. So you have a lot to choose from. Some of my favorites are like Shark Farmer and Farm for Profit. So check them out if you're into podcasts or you just want to get started. Lots of good ones.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's hit on a couple more ag topics, Bridget.
Sure.
I'll let you pick them out this time.
So right now, there's all this discussion about sustainable aviation fuel. The Green Bison plant it's a soybean crush plant out at Spiritwood near Jamestown. Their soy oil is going to Dickinson, and that's going to be made into sustainable aviation fuel. Right now, India Air is really planning on taking a bigger look at this. They want to be a hub in India for regional air carriers, and they think that sustainable aviation fuel is one way that they're going to do better. they have a focus on practices like soil and water quality, nutrient management, just what most people are already doing in their soybean crop. And it's not just soybeans that can be made into those SAF fuels. You can also look at canola. There's discussion of using more and more camelina, which is more of like a winter. It reminds me of a winter canola. It's a little bit different than that. But nonetheless, we have these opportunities, and now we're seeing that interest coming from other foreign countries that want to continue to use sustainable aviation fuel. We'll see where all of that leads. But by and large, I think those soy crush plants that are here in North Dakota now, Castleton and Spiritwood, both probably had a really good fall, because the soybean crop overall was better than many expected.
And is it cheaper? Is it sustainable fuel? Is that cheaper?
You know, I think there's an argument whether it's cheaper or not, because it's the green movement wants a better footprint.
So it's clean. It's cleaner burning.
Now, it's being used in commercial air flights, but I don't know that it's being used in private jet flights yet.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's always a little bit of a little bit to argue on either side of that.
Right.
One.
How's and
that?
Hey, if it helps, and it helps out our ag community up here, so
it does.
That's
you know,
good.
We are always looking for more and more places to take our soybean crop as we continue to increase bushels with as efficient as we are. So that's awesome for us. We're a great soybean growing state.
Good deal.
Yeah,
and we got time for one more, real quick.
I want you to think about we've heard this many times, but the FBI continues to say that they're concerned about cybersecurity attacks on farms and especially on food processors now that we're through harvest. We don't want to see any of those shutdowns happening that could cause concerns for the food chain supply. Food security is national security, and the FBI office, particularly out of Omaha, brings this up routinely. Make sure that you're using those multi-factors, MFAs, on your emails, especially when you're doing banking or legal documents. Get an expert in to look at your systems as farmers and as agribusinesses, because you can't afford shutdowns this time of the year. If you get to the elevator and you can't run a scale, the probe in the trucks, you can't run your dryers, and all of that is computerized, that's a problem. So make sure you are thinking ahead about your cybersecurity. Believe it or not, I'm really starting to think more about mine, and I think that Chris at Tech Support Farm, who's one of our regular guests, is probably going to have to come help me. Talk to me like I'm five, Chris. Help me figure this out. I got to be better.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, many things.
That's definitely nothing to mess around with, so no doubt about it.
Not at all.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us this afternoon on this glorious sunny day, and we're going to try and get some rain in here next week. We'll do what we can on that. But don't go anywhere. The number one show in the Midwest is coming up next. That's the Jay Thomas Show. Don't go anywhere.